Again, a Thanksgiving message out of a Lamentations, okay? So right after Jeremiah is a little book called Lamentations. Lamentations means weeping, crying. And so we're going to begin our Thanksgiving there. And then also a second place, Psalms chapter 68. I have 100 Psalms that we could read on Thanksgiving. But let's go ahead and just look at this one. Psalms chapter 68. I'm going the wrong way. Psalms is before Lamentations again. So Psalms 68. And let's look at some things out of God's Word as we prepare our hearts to give thanksgiving for 1 week straight here as we're entering into a national day of Thanksgiving celebrated this Thursday. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And if you have Lamentations chapter 3, we're going to be reading two verses out of there. They should be underlined or highlighted. Mine are scribbled full of notes again. But Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 22. Let's start in verse 21. We're kind of in the middle of a thought here. But it says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." And then verse 22 of Lamentations 3 says this, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Notice there's no thanksgiving mentioned in that verse, but there is something very thankful that we ought to be again and ought to show in our heart that God's faithfulness and God's mercies, again, are with us every day. And then turn back to 68, Psalm 68, and look with me at verse 19. Again, I hope another verse you have circled or underlined in your Bible. Psalm 68, 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Selah. When we come to Thanksgiving and spending every day of the month or all every day this week and giving thanks again, we have so much resources. We have so much blessings in our lives in this country that there should be no shortage in our lives. And notice again, as it says here in the Scriptures, that He daily loadeth us with blessings. Father, praise You and thank You. We want to come to You today with a thankful heart and pray again, Father, that You touch Your words as we look at them and rejoice in the message before us again of thankfulness. May it cut into our heart and rejoice our soul. And may it again cause that we'd set a precedence of praising Your holy name that it would go on for this whole week in a spectacular fashion that would cause You to smile on each life that's here. We'll give You the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen, amen. You may be seated as we look again at this message on Thanksgiving. I've got three of them here. This one I've preached before, so I'll just highlight a couple pieces of it. But we have so much to give thanks for. I've got another message again from Hope Counseling. And here's their advice again for Thanksgiving was this. That if people in their homes would learn to be thankful that their offices for Hope Counseling, Biblical Counseling, for Marriage Counseling, for Troubled Child Counseling, that their counseling service would not be nearly as busy as it is today. Because being thankful is a tool that God has given to us to keep our homes in working order. And so again, we need to learn to be thankful. And I know here again that we put an emphasis on this in our lives. But again, this week especially, we want to bring it to the forefront and have again that in everything that we'd learn to give thanks and that we just have an attitude of thankfulness. In the month of November so far, we've covered again that dads need to lead in family altar in their homes. Then last week we covered that dads need to lead in family prayer in their homes. This week, again, I'm going to emphasize that we need to have dads that will lead in thanksgivings. It's amazing, again, that dads set the tone for what's going on in the home according to God's order. And again, we need to have a tone of thanksgiving set in our homes. And again, Hope Biblical Counseling says that would alleviate most of the problems in our home. If we'd have that attitude of thanksgiving and in everything giving thanks. And if that would today just swallow your life and not only make a difference for this week, but make a difference for the closing of 2016 and the beginning of 2017, that we'd learn a new attitude of praising the Lord in everything and giving thanks to God. Two scriptures, I guess, that we want to cover these. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, and we'll just highlight this one verse again just to emphasize the fact that we, again, have a stair step given in Romans chapter 1. This is a stair step of mankind that leads away from God. I've preached it several times. There are seven steps in this staircase, and they lead away from God. And the nice thing about this staircase is you can turn around. Any step you're on, you can always turn around and use this as an advancement to go back into the very presence of God, into the very knowledge of God. And so here in verse 21 begins a stair steps, seven of them. And I just want to read you here the very first steps that lead away from God. And that's in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. It begins, again, this dissertation to show that everybody knows God. Everybody knows there is a God. I like to tell people whenever I run into an atheist, and it's very often in America, and unfortunate in America that that is so often, I like to tell them that God does not believe in atheists. Okay? God says again that every man has a knowledge of God. Every man has a knowledge of the wrath of God, the almightiness of God. And God puts that inside of every person born in this world. Not only that, but the sun, the light, shines upon every man that's born in this world. Not only that, but it says back in Jeremiah that, again, God tries the reins of every man that's born in this world. And so man, again, even as it says here, is without excuse. But then look at this staircase that begins in verse 21. And this is a staircase away from God. And notice the first few steps. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. The plight of our nation is that very same plight right now. They don't know God. They don't acknowledge Him as a creator. They think that they are man-made. They evolved again and they made themselves. Not only think they think that, they think they make the weather too. They think they're in charge of the weather and the droughts and the storms and whatnot. And because they will not acknowledge God nor give Him glory. And so again, as we look at God's Word today, our thankfulness, I want us to see here that not being thankful is a step away from God. God has built us to be a thankful people. These are troublous times in our nation because of troublous times in our homes. Most have set aside God's tools for building homes, and a fundamental tool is indeed thanksgiving. In the seven steps away from godliness, the first steps are, even as I just read, that they were not thankful. Dads, set the precedence in a home's thanksgiving. Abraham Lincoln addressed a very divided nation in 1863 when he gave this Thanksgiving proclamation: "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in number, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to God that made us. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those that are at sea, and those that are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our benefit Father who dwelleth in the heavens. So notice again there, isn't that fitting? That would fit right into where we're at today, again written in 1863 in the midst of the throes of the Civil War. And again, we need to understand the importance of that message. And for our own individual homes and our own individual well-being is to learn to be thanksgivers. You ever met a Christian that was baptized in pickle juice and has turned sour again, and all they do is moan and groan and complain? And again, God doesn't want that from us. Amen. He wants that we would have a heart of thanksgiving. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So teach us to number our days, Peter said, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're coming up on a bunch of holidays right now, and I like holidays. Holidays force us to re-examine our priorities, our schedules, and they force us to reflect, I hope, on some things in our past. Christmas, families being together, gifts of loved ones and the gift of God and God's salvation and His coming to earth. New Year's with new plans and past and future goals, progressing aspiration, a purpose and His salvation. Easter, God's only begotten Son, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His salvation. Memorial Day, those departed and the price of freedom and the liberty, remembering His salvation. Of course, the 4th of July, Independence Day, one nation under God, a nation who chose God, salvation of a nation. Labor Day, back to school, back to work, back to schedule, and beginning of the new work year. And then Thanksgiving Day. For 50 years now, I've been asked to recite something I am the most thankful for. Highest would be His salvation. That He would look down upon the likes of you and save you anyway is a tremendous miracle of God and the salvation that we have in Him. We have the first Thanksgiving again and some things about that we've already covered. So let's just cover some things. I've made a list here of seven things that we ought to be thankful for. And perhaps it'll stagger your mind just a little bit when you're asked to think of something that you are thankful for. Again, first off, again, is what I just said. Thankful for the cross, thankful for the salvation that we have, and the fact that God would save us, that He would provide a means whereby my sins would be gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone forever, and there's nothing that I could do that would bring them back. The salvation that we have in God is a tremendous thing. And notice again that it's lost again from the focus of America, even when it comes to the message of the churches. As we looked in Sunday school, they've lost the fact that we're to be preaching the gospel to every creature. And that again is our purpose. And that again is the wonder that we have salvation. Secondly, and I want you to think about this. I don't know how to teach this one anyway, but be thankful for who you are. Be thankful for who you are. I heard someone, I forgot where I was at, even we're in some philosophy class or someplace, and it was brought out that this is not me, okay? I'm inside of here. And I want you to think about that for a minute. This is not your pastor. This is not Eddie Rice. This is not Captain Rice. I'm inside of here again, and I again do the best I can with this, but again understand that, hey, I'm me inside of here. Now I know that's deep philosophical, and perhaps I don't want to scare anybody, but again understand that we need to be thankful for who we are. You know, we need to be thankful for where we were born and how we got to be where we are. We need to be thankful for parents that caused, again, that we are what we are. And just give thanks. Now, maybe your parents weren't perfect. Let me put it this way. Probably your parents weren't perfect. But listen, they got you here again. Amen. And they got you here again. Okay, you see that difference, that distinction. And so even if they blundered a little bit, at least again, they got you here. They got into this world. I was talking with a man in Haiti, and he couldn't get his driver's license because he couldn't produce a birth certificate. And so finally, in frustration, he went down to the motor vehicle department, as it was called in Haiti, and he said, well, how do you suppose I got here again? And so we got here by birth again. And even if you don't have a birth certificate, that's, chances are, odds are, that's how you got here again, is by birth. And so we ought to be thankful for who we are and the family that I was born into. Did you ever hear someone that's trying to find oneself? And again, praise the Lord. If you were teenagers once and spent some time perhaps trying to find yourself because your parents didn't outline perhaps exactly who you were. And so just be thankful for who we are. Thankful for what we are. You know, it's amazing to me how much time you spend, not me of course, but you, and how much time you spend trying to be careful of what other people think of you. In fact, most of our lives are consumed with putting on airs, if I could call it that, and pretending to be something so that other people will think more highly of ourselves than they ought to think again. And so we spend a lot of our time putting on acts, putting on airs, putting on faces. I always remember a description of blue bloods was people who pretend to be something that they're not. And they spend all their time thinking about everything they do because they want to be careful of what others will think of them. And boy, it's good just to give thanks that you don't have to fuss too much around here, especially with what other people think of you. You can just be you. And listen, we need that in our lives. And if you're putting on airs, there's a word for that that's called hypocrisy, okay? Trying to act like something you're not. And so again, just be thankful for who you are. Don't be trying to be somebody else. Draw some confidence in the fact that God made you as you are. And listen, He loves you like that. Amen. And we have a friend that's closer than a brother, and he'll talk to us even because we're us again. And so God loves you. And we need to learn sometimes to be thankful for who we are. Psalms 139 has these two verses. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalm 22 says, but thou art he that looked on me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Listen, praise the Lord for who you are. And praise the Lord for the parents that got you to where you are. The wicked are estranged from the womb, the Bible says. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, the Bible says. And so again, we need to just learn to praise the Lord for who you are. Praise the Lord for what you are. Not just who you are, but praise the Lord for what you are. You're not a self-made man. God has had His hand in your affairs since the day you was born. And praise the Lord for what you are. We're not what we ought to be, but we ain't what we used to be, praise the Lord. And so we want to give thanks not only for who we are, but for what we are. what God enabled you to become. Not so much what you got. Small minds talk about things. Great minds talk about ideas. But again, the fact that you were raised up to be a steward of His earth, to occupy the body He designed, built, and cursed, to breathe in His air, to drink His water, to eat His food. Bible says in Psalms 50, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Praise the Lord for what you are today, and again, for the God that made you what you are. Fourthly, when you were born. I mentioned to several people the Chinese curse, it's called. May you live in interesting times. But listen, you ought to praise the Lord for when you was born. You know, you could have been born back in Exodus times. You could have been born, worse yet, back in Judges times. Talk about a nation turning against God and bowing down and worshiping idols. You could have been born in Nazi Germany. You could have been born in all these places at all these different times. But praise the Lord, we've got a bunch of baby boomers here again and beyond. And again, to understand that we need to just praise the Lord when we're born. You know, right now, today, it has never been easier to be right with your Creator. It's never been easier. You picture Old Testament law, what they had to go through to be right and to believe God and to live their life. But right now, listen, all we need to do is approach God and ask Him to save us, and He said He'll do it. Just like that. We ought to praise the Lord for the time that we're born in dispensationally. That we're born in a time when, again, we can have a relationship with God. You know, in the Old Testament, you don't see Abraham praying, "Dear Father." You don't see Daniel praying, "Our Father." You don't see, who's the three that are mentioned? Noah, Job, and Daniel as the most righteous. None of those prayed, "Our Father who art in heaven." But you and I, because of the time we're born in this old world, have the ability to call God our Father. Listen, that's a big deal. That we can, again, have a relationship with God because of what Christ Jesus did. And we can call Him our Father. Be thankful for the time period that you were born into. In the past 100 years, you know, 100 years ago, if they wanted to go to market, they had to go out to the barn, get the horse out, and hook them up to a wagon, and go to market. There's some people still doing it today and think it's a beautiful nostalgia. I don't know if that's what they're thinking this morning on the way to church. But listen, that was 100 years ago. And in our lifetime, look at where we've come from. There's this cell phone commercial on that says it was all exciting that everyone's got a cell phone, and now they're ho-hum. There was a commercial on about the invention of the telephone again. They hung up the phone on the wall, and everyone said, "What is that?" They actually had it tied to a wall again. And so you think about the changes that have happened in our lifetime here. And every 10 years, again, we've got a whole new society trying to figure out how to deal with the technology that's available to us. And so, again, to understand that we, again, are to be thankful for the when we are born. Be thankful for where you are born. In religion today, May 2000, North Korea was publicly executed 23 Christians by firing squad since October. Praise the Lord for where you was born. Praise the Lord for the religious freedom that we have in America. I know it's under attack. I know it's surmised and scoffed at by, again, our leadership. But again, understand this. Praise the Lord. I can go out on the street and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they cannot execute me for that. They can't throw me in jail for that. That's not true in Libya. That's not true in a lot of other countries, again, that you go and preach on the street. That's not true in Italy. They had to get a government permit to hand out tracts in Mazara, Italy this past week. And so again, to understand that we have freedoms again, and we should praise the Lord for where we are born. One nation, indivisible, once inhabited by savages and pagans, but under God and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator, we are a land of freedom. In India, Australia Baptist Missions, Graham Staines and his two sons, ages 10 and 8, were murdered in Orissa in January of 99. The Staines and his boys were sleeping in a vehicle when a mob surrounded it, caught it on fire, and refused to let them out. All their Bibles were seized from a missionary garage in India and burned. More than 150 homes of Christians were burned in 1999 alone because of uprisings about transporting Bibles into India. In August of 2000, in Laos, Christians in Laos are being forced to sign an official document renouncing their faith. In China, the government intensified its nationwide crackdown on unregistered churches. We had a missionary there, I can't think of his name right now, that was sent to jail and pitched out of the country again for preaching the gospel of Jacob Toby again. And his friend, both of them anyway, kicked out of the country. He was there on a student visa building churches in China. And so we see again other countries. France, a law purpose in France National Assembly would make it a crime punishable by 2 years in prison for proselytizing, preaching the gospel. You see, in France, they had a law that you were not allowed to wear a headscarf. Do you know in France, you're not allowed to wear a cross? You're not allowed openly to wear a cross in public. It's against the law. And so again, to understand that we live in a nation that has freedoms, not just freedom of expression, but freedoms again to worship. And I got three more countries here. Two of them I can't pronounce, so I'll just skip them. But again, to understand that we need to just praise the Lord, that we're born in America. And the freedoms that we have, sometimes we take them for granted. Sometimes we again don't use them. Just to communicate the love of God on the streets where we still have a freedom to do that. Praise the Lord for why you are here. Praise the Lord for why you are here. Wouldn't it be awful to go through life without purpose? And you've been given a purpose by the Creator of this world. You have been commissioned to be an example of grace and a preacher of God's grace. Every one of us, if you're a born-again Christian, you've got a task in this world. You've got a purpose in this world that's greater than a job, that's greater than occupation, that's greater than, again, our sustenance and our daily food. We've got a purpose in this world of being example of God's grace. I love the Ephesians verse where it said, "For by grace are you saved." If you back up just a little bit, it says this, that God is going to hold us up for all of eternity, so that everybody in the universe, including all the angels of heaven, can look on you and look on me, and God will say, "See, that is grace. That's what my grace is. That's what my grace has done." And again, we are examples of grace. And listen, you can't be a bad example of grace. You can be a hushed up example of grace, but listen, that God would save the likes of you is what, again, we preach, that God will save anybody. And then lastly, number 7 is how He will do it. Philippians 4:11 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." We've memorized verse 13, but forgotten again that means, again, no matter what we're going through in life, whether it's rich blessings or dire poverty, God can cause again that we can do all things through Him. Praise the Lord of how we will do this. Praise the Lord that we can give thanksgiving. It says in Hebrews 13:15. Let's look at this in case someone doesn't have it marked in their Bible. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. And in getting ready for this, I pulled out several messages. And one of them, again, since I had this reference highlighted, comes right to a tremendous portrayal here in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, look with me at verse 15. Let's back up a little bit. I won't preach the whole message, but wherefore, verse 12 says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. You see that there? It's important to understand that Jesus was taken outside the gate. It's prophetic and it's fulfilling. And listen, you and I are going to be outside the gate in our lives. We're just pilgrims and sojourners here. We're strangers, as we saw in our study on Peter, that we're strangers in this world. And so he was crucified outside the gate. And then verse 13 says, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Verse 15, but him... or by him, therefore, let us. Hebrews got a lot of lettuce in it. And I got another message that pulls every hunk of lettuce out of, every head of lettuce out of the book of Hebrews. But this is an important one here. Notice again, because Christ did it, it says here, by him, therefore. Because he did that for us. Now we have the ability. How are we going to do this? How are we going to be a thankful people? It's by him. And here we have it in this earth. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. I want you to think about that verse there for a minute and understand that sometimes giving thanks is a sacrifice. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes, again, you're thinking, God said I'm supposed to, so I will, again. And notice again the flavor of sacrifice there. That you're going to put aside yourself, your own feelings, your own pride, your own, even your own hurts, and you're going to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I love that verse, and I love, again, that that's done because of what Christ did inside of me. We can't do that on our own. That's something that just bubbles inside of us with hearts of thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 9:11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 2:7, rooted and builded in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. It goes on in verse 16 to say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, .. giving thanks. You're not supposed to say .. giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Notice the emphasis of thanksgiving in all of these, again, requirements written by in the epistles to the church. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4:4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. We ought to have thanksgiving even for our food, even if it's some unclean food, as the Bible calls it in the book of Leviticus. And then Revelation chapter 7 says this, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. I hope Thanksgiving is all over your life this week. Listen, it's the Christian thing to do. Let Christ dwell in you and be a people of great thanksgiving. Father, praise you again and thank you for the many verses we've looked at here, the instruction given by your apostles, the instruction given again by the psalmist, and even the lamentations again of Jeremiah, causing us to be thankful for what you've done for us and for all that you've given us. I pray, Father, that even this week, as we walk through a week focusing on thanksgiving, that you'd again cause in us a heart of thanksgiving that would get all over each home that's represented here and each life, each child again, that they'd come up into a home and see thanksgiving, whether it be a grandchild or great-grandchild here, Father, that they could see our thanksgiving and rejoice in our God as well. We'll give you the praise now for touching hearts and filling our lives this week with that thanksgiving. We want to thank you again for the bounty even that we have here in a feast after church, the bounty that you've given us in this country, the cars that got us here, the possessions that we have, the bounty even in the offerings to Good Samaritan Baptist Church this year. We thank you and praise you for the resources you've put at our fingertips. Teach us, Father, even in our week of thanksgiving, to use them for thy honor, thy glory, and thy thanksgiving. We'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate again that we can have hearts of thanksgiving. And if we found that song in our book, let's go ahead and close with that. We opened with that this morning. A song of thanksgiving. It's on the black fly leaves of some of the books that we have in here. I just want to thank you, Lord. And let's stand, and we're going to dismiss with that song. If someone has a book with that in, it would help if I had the words on it right now. Wing it. Thank you. Can we find it? I just want to thank you, Lord. It's on someplace in the back flyleaf of your book. Being a friend so dear, giving my sad heart a cheer, for holding my hand. just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord bless you for worshiping today.